You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Chelsea podcast. We're doing our preview show for the upcoming game against Sheffield United on Sunday at Bramall Lane. And I have, as ever with me, the magisterial Mooch.
Oi, oi.
Hello, Cocker. And we're very, very pleased to have back with us the musician, songwriter and all-round good egg, Mr. Lloyd Cole. Lloyd, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So, obviously, we have to talk about this game without any knowledge of how the game on Thursday night went. So we're all in a position of sort of speaking slightly from a point of view of not knowing if we've picked up any more injuries or whether we gained a very spirit-enhancing 3 points there, or it's been another disaster.
Or who the manager is.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? That could all have changed on Friday. I mean, this is one of those on-paper games, isn't it, that really we should be winning. That we were just talking about the fact that they've had a little bit of a bounce. They had a draw with Bournemouth. They had, this weekend just gone, they had a 3-3 draw with Fulham, which they probably should have won, but in the end, we're hanging on for. Mooch, what do you make of this one? I think it's something that, this is one surely that we should be coming away with 3 points with.
Yeah, but you could have said the same about the Burnley game. It's the story of the season. We should be winning this. Will we win this? We're not sure. They are rock bottom. And they have had a little bit of a bounce, but we should be dispatching this team. Will we? Am I confident after the result this week? No. But despite that, we should still, we've got more quality in every area of the field. So you'd hope.
Yeah, come on, lads. This is the optimistic podcast of all the Chelsea podcasts. Come on, we're going to stuff them. So, what we didn't do, Lloyd, against Burnley, which we touched on in the main pod earlier, we seem to struggle to break down defences. And again, this is something we've talked about often this season. We do struggle to break down a defence, a very tightly packed 10-man defence, of teams that only basically come to defend and try and nick something on the break. Obviously, we're likely to face that again. Do we need to change a strategy? Do we need to change a personnel? Is there actually any personnel we could change? I suppose Madueke is a possibility. Anything that you see us doing different? We've got to do something different after the Burnley game, surely.
Have you ever seen Madueke play well?
In flashes.
I thought at the start of the season he was pretty decent.
I mean, I think he has his moments, and I think in most games he's come on, he's had a couple of flashes where you've thought, the boy's got some talent. There's no question about that. I really think he does. Again, he's incredibly young,
yeah.
But he's one of those players who is either likely to, you know, when he gets the ball, he's either likely to score a brilliant solo goal like he did against Leicester, or lay waste to everything that's within 10 yards around him and then run the ball off the pitch. But I take your point. I take your point. But do we need to? I suppose what I'm saying is that, you know, we've got to start better, haven't we? And we've got to be more direct.
We've got to start better and to break down those teams that sit back like that. You need to be inventive.
Agreed.
So the inventive moment in the last match came from Sterling.
Mm. Lloyd, surely you're not suggesting that Raheem Sterling should be going back into the team after you dismissed him so cruelly in our previous...
Well, in terms of the tools that we've got to work with right now,
mm.
and how to beat a team that sits like that, I don't think Gallagher's going to do it. I don't think he's going to come up with the pass that does it.
Mm.
I might want to have to start with Gallagher on the bench and start with Sterling up, and then Sterling laying off the ball to Mudrick, who's coming in from the left.
Wow.
You know, Sterling playing as maybe a number 10.
Brave man. Brave man to be saying that. There's going to be people stamping their feet all over.
Well, I mean, I am pretty well known on social media to be an idiot in many people's eyes. So.
Well, I think you're joining a very big club. You know, we have jackets. To be fair, I think it's not really a different problem to Burnley, but I do think what I have noticed is that we are actually getting better at crossing the ball. I mean, one thing I've always found I thought certainly at the beginning of the season about trying to break down these defences is that we've tried to find the perfect pass all the time, you know, and that doesn't come up very often, sort of like threading the ball through the eye of a needle. You know, through a bank of sort of like, you know, six or eight defenders, and that's hard. You know, even Manchester City found that out against, admittedly, a very good defence in Arsenal on Sunday, but on Saturday. But I think we are getting crosses in. I think one of our problems again has been just our inability to hit a cow's ass with a banjo. You know, we seem to that final. We do seem to be lacking someone who can get their head on a ball. I know Jackson has done it a couple of times, but it sort of has to be perfect for him. And we don't really have anyone else who seems to have that quality of attacking a hard cross into the well-known corridor of uncertainty.
I'm a bit worried because
I was just agreeing. I mean, Jackson's got a couple of nice headers. Again, he looks. I mean, I do feel like we should give him till the end of the season, and give him time because he's got skills. It's just I think he lacks composure.
No, Jackson's great. I do think he's a quality player, and we missed him when he was away. What I'm worried about, and what I agree, we should be getting crosses in, but I'm really concerned that Gusto not being present on the wing is going to be a real problem, and if we have two left backs, are we going to get the crosses in from the right back position if Cucurella like shimmies over to the right? Are we going to be just constantly cutting in? Do we need to think of a plan C? Because we know what United are going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that. Alfie Gilchrist is obviously in with a shout of starting the game, and I suspect that I don't know if he might. We'll obviously.
He's played there, but is he a right back?
Yeah, I think he is a right back, isn't he? He's played at left, but he's I see what you mean. Sorry, I think he's more comfortable at right back than he is at left. He's really a centre back, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
but I think he will. I think he can. He can and will play there, and. From what we were saying, Lloyd, in the main pod, is that he's he's possibly a bit more defensively minded. And we looked at, you know, the one criticism you'd have of Gusto is that perhaps he needs to be a little bit better when he's facing a player with the ball. And I think Alfie Gilchrist is stronger on that. But that means we lose out in an attacking sense, of course.
Yeah, I mean, and again, what was the Lewis Hall? Did we sell to Newcastle?
Oh gosh!
We're all of a sudden missing him now, aren't we?
Yeah, and Livramento, of course, went the same way, and both having, you know, Lewis Hall came on and had a very impactful substitute performance on Saturday. So, yeah, more of the same, more of selling all this talent. And
on the other hand, Mudryk can cross the ball.
Yeah, I mean, of course, yeah,
I mean, we don't have to rely on the wing on the fullbacks or the wingbacks to put all the crosses in.
No, absolutely. I mean,
and you know, if we're going to need to get crosses in, then, you know, the likes of Mudryk and Mandueke, if he's on the field, they need to be putting crosses in.
Mm.
They need to have an end product.
Absolutely, but as you've said, you know, if they do put the crosses in, you still want someone on the end of them, and who knows who that's going to be?
Disasi up front.
Well, if we're looking at for the perfect pass, then, you know, we do have to be looking for Enzo to start stepping up and doing the things that we know he's capable of, because we've seen him do them for Argentina. We need Cole Palmer to see a lot more of the ball. There was a lot of the second half of the game on Saturday. I think he didn't see an awful lot of the ball. And I think that's got to be the difference. We've got to put the defence on the back foot and not let them get settled. And the way of doing that is quick passing and movement and getting behind.
Yeah, quick
players.
Passing and movement. Absolutely. I'm at the point now where I think if we don't score three, we probably won't win.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they've looked relatively dangerous going forward. You know, they've got a couple of, you know, the sort of classic type centre forwards that we were talking about. They've got Ollie McBurney, who's a handful. I mean, he's not the world's greatest player, but he's a handful. And they've got Brereton Diaz, who scored a hatful at Blackburn and has come in and started scoring for them now. So, I mean, they do have a threat up front. So I think you're absolutely right. Having said that, they've got to play Liverpool. Obviously, we're playing in the week as well, but they've got to play Liverpool.
They could be shell-shocked.
Yeah, although, you know, I mean, it would be entirely typical of Chelsea to play brilliantly against United. We don't know what's happened there. You may be listening to this after that game, and then sort of have an absolute nightmare against Sheffield on Sunday. And of course, the quick turnaround presumably won't help either club, but obviously we've got a little bit further to travel. We do have we've talked about our squad being sort of pulled very thin now and not really having a lot of alternatives on the bench because of injury. So our players are playing an awful lot of games. Is that going to be a factor, do you think?
Has to be.
I mean, our injuries list is impressive.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah.
It's probably the most impressive thing about us this season. And, you know, the constant games is got to be a contributing factor.
At the moment, to be fair, everybody is playing a lot of games. You know, so we've got a lot of games over the Easter period. Obviously, most players in the Premier League, their players have been away on international duty. I couldn't tell you how many that was the case for Sheffield United, but, you know, again, this is a quick turnaround. It looks like Chelsea are going to be playing pretty much every midweek between now and the end of the season, purely because we've got so many games to rearrange. But, you know, I do feel like, that's also catching us out. You know, if we had a fit Nkunku, if we had a fully fit Chukwuemeka, he might be back, to be fair. If we had a fully fit, you know, all of our defence was fully fit, we'd probably be looking at a whole different set of results over the last few months. But would you make any other changes to the starting lineup, Lloyd, do you think? Is there any, I mean, we talked about Madueke, but if Chilwell's back, would you bring him back in? If Chukwuemeka's back, would you bring him back in?
Yeah. I can never pronounce his name properly, but I think I'm just going to call him Chuck.
Tony.
Every time I've seen him, he looks good. He's got fast feet. He seems like he's got a pretty fast brain too. I like him. So yeah, given that we've got so many games, a little bit of rotation. I mean, Gallagher looks like he's going to burn himself out. Do you think, by the way, I've thought about this the last few years, do you think that sort of the high-octane sort of nature of Premier League football these days is resulting in far more injuries than there used to be when the game was a little slower and a little softer?
I mean, look, I suppose it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? On the one hand, yes, I think the athleticism required now and the expectations of players and the amount of games they're playing and the intensity of those games is a lot different to how things were, you know, when we were growing up. Having said that, you don't have ridiculously bad pitches like we used to.
Yeah, and you don't have Chopper Harris anymore.
Exactly, that was going to be my next thing. You don't have Chopper Harris and Norman Hunter and, you know, Tommy Smith or people like that sort of coming and absolutely hacking you down every 5 minutes. So you sort of have to take the rough with the smooth a little bit, I think.
What I'm thinking more is it's the level of fitness when people are pushing themselves to this almost as fit as a human being can possibly be.
Mm.
Your muscles. I mean, I know this from following golf. If you look at the way Tiger Woods played over the years, he put so much strain on his body. He got more injured than almost anybody else. He never actually fulfilled his aim of beating Jack Nicklaus's record. Phil Mickelson, on the other hand, was always a bit fat. never put any undue strain on his knees like Tiger Woods did. He never got injured once.
Listen,
he never had an injury.
As an athlete, I can testify that is exactly what's happened here.
That's all that extra weight. That's just
you got my idiot jacket waiting for me.
No, not at all. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, Phil Mickelson has a very easy swing. Clearly doesn't, you know, he's a famously, although he's not a laid back person, he's a famously, laid back. He's got a famously laid back physicality when playing.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, you know, but we pay people, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds, or certainly tens of thousands of pounds, several tens of thousands of pounds to, you know, that to prepare our players and to make sure that they are at their peak of fitness. And to, you know, we have our medical departments now are so incredibly complex and, you know, fulsome that really you would think that the strain that, you know, we should be able to cope with the strains of the modern game. I take your point. I mean, we are still playing a lot of games and we are still playing and we are definitely playing, you know, at a level that you just wouldn't have seen even in the top division 30 years ago. It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah. The type of player that succeeds and that are being recruited, it's not quite so much the creativity. It's just pure athleticism. It's like running constantly. And, you know, I've seen interviews with, you know, the Mourinho sort of era of players, and it's like they're just pure athletes now compared to the sort of flair and skill. But also, I do think you there is a little point there. You know, you get these people who are drunk and then fall off a bloody a scaffolding thing and are absolutely fine because they're just relaxed and maybe there is an element of it. No, maybe there is an element of it where we're under such a microscope with everything, whether cool there is like a tiny pull here or you feel something there and there's so much more riding on it, there's so much more anxiety and stress around it that maybe it does, you know, bring on more injuries and
force. And also, in the case of, you know, certain players, obviously, you know, ignoring a knock or ignoring a nagging injury. I mean, you could certainly look at, you know, Reece James is obviously a classic case in point. You know, people not coming, not giving themselves, not giving their bodies time, wanting to come back quickly, wanting to get back playing for their club and their country. And there's an enormous pressure for them to do so because they're important for their club and country and they're paid an awful lot of money.
And so many sports people are, I would say you half your season you're playing with some kind of a niggle.
Yeah.
You very rarely don't have anything. Very rarely do you feel perfect.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we've seen it end the careers of, you know, even sort of 25 years ago, you know, Michael Owen could have been a phenomenal player, but unfortunately was just very, very good because injuries curtailed his, you know, kept curtailing his development, kept curtailing his ability to sort of come to maintain his speed and his strength.
The real shame is that he now has to do punditry.
Oh God! Yeah, if only he could have retired and looked after his horse race,
exactly,
horse racing interests. Oh well. Okay, so gentlemen, let's wrap this one up. What do we think about this Sheffield United game? I mean, Lloyd, we normally allow people to have a heart prediction and a head prediction. So yours might be one and the same. But what do you think? How do you think the Sheffield United game is going to go?
I'm counting on Liverpool to leave them completely dispirited, feeling like they've got no chance. If they can get a result out of Liverpool, then they've probably not given up on the season 100% yet. Mm. So I'm counting on Liverpool. And if Liverpool can beat them, I think we might actually actually have some fun. We might actually have a big win. I'll say 4-1.
Excellent. This is exactly what we like to hear on this programme, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first. Mooch, what about you, my friend?
5-1.
Oh. It's not a competition.
I think you'll find it is. That's right, exactly.
Okay. Well, all right, gentlemen. Well, I shall be taking the piss out of you royally next week when we scraped another 2-2 draw. Now, I think we're going to win. I think they will score. And I think it will be either be 3-1 or 3-2 to us. And I think it'll be a Luton all over again. It'll be 3-2. So that's that. Lloyd, I have to thank you once again for taking time out of your day and out of your schedule. It's been absolutely lovely to have you. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, speaking of Luton, do you think Barkley's going to get back in England too?
Well, I did read something about this. I read something about it. If you based it on stats, he's the only midfielder, the only English midfielder this season who's had 30 shots on target, 30 shots on target, 30 significant involvements, maybe goal involvements, right, something like that, and 30-something. I can't even remember what the other stat was, but on stats, he's having an incredible season. You've got to give it to the boy. He's really turned some of, he's gone back to some of the form that he was showing when he was a young man at Everton. Good luck to him.
Yeah, I say the same. I'm very happy for him.
Yeah. Well, gents, that was absolutely superb. Mooch, as ever, it's been an absolute delight.
Yep.
Lloyd, we hope we can have you back on the show sometime, maybe next year. It'd be lovely to have you again next season.
After your number one FA Cup single.
Thanks very much for having me. That's great fun.
You're very welcome.
Cheers, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been the Chelsea podcast for another week. Take care. If you're going to the game, keep the blue flag flying high.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.